Yeah.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth said America is here to stay in the Indo-Pacific. He's speaking at the Shangri-La Dialogue, an annual defense event held in Singapore. He said that China could pose an imminent military threat.
China seeks to become a hegemonic power in Asia, no doubt. It hopes to dominate and control too many parts of this vibrant and vital region.
President Trump traveled to Pittsburgh on Friday and announced during an event touting a possible merger between Nippon Steel and U.S. Steel that steel tariffs would increase. They would double from 25% to 50% on all imported steel. Earlier in the day, the president in an Oval Office event bid farewell to Elon Musk, who departed his government role, and former President Joe Biden, speaking publicly for the first time since he announced his cancer diagnosis, told reporters he's feeling good. This is ABC News. Travel problems at Newark Liberty International Airport have been blamed on a variety of reasons. One was the closure of a major runway for construction. Crews worked around the clock, and now officials say that allowed construction to finish ahead of schedule. The runway will reopen Monday, 13 days earlier than first planned. June is Pride Month. The city of Philadelphia got off to an early start Friday with a pride flag-raising ceremony at City Hall. And Mayor Sherelle Parker said,
"It's a joy to join our LGBTQ plus community and allies as we raise the pride flag."
City has pride events planned throughout the month. Police in Idaho say the driver of a pickup truck that crashed into a tour van near Yellowstone National Park earlier this month, killing himself and six people on the van, had a blood alcohol level more than twice the legal limit for driving. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
This is for people who watched me anchoring the news at Channel 13. My last day at TV 13 was 20 years ago yesterday.
Oh, I'm old now, too.
Well, yeah, that was my whole point.
And I was, too, when you stopped working at TV.
That's what I get all the time now is people come up and they go, "Oh, were you on TV?" I'm like, "Yeah." And then I go, "Don't say it. I watched you when I was a little kid." I'm like, yikes.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. A group of Pierce County residents is pushing back against the expansion of Ridge Breeze Dairy. It would quadruple in size. Here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
Local business owner Larry Brenner says his home, land, and business is about a mile below the hill the dairy sits on. He says that makes him and tributaries like the Rush River that runs next to his property especially vulnerable to things like manure runoff and accidents.
That river is where my grandpa's land flowed through. So the fact that I now have a piece of that river flowing through my property, it's very special. And boy, it's threatened.
Brenner says the expansion could result in almost 80 million gallons of untreated manure annually, potentially affecting water sources and causing increased odor issues and noise from hundreds of manure trucks. Janelle Ludwig Kraus with Grassroots Organizing Western Wisconsin lives about 20 minutes from Ridge Breeze. Kraus's mother has terminal cancer, and she lost her brother to depression 8 years ago. She said when she learned that these conditions could be caused by exposure to carcinogens like those used to treat manure, she was horrified.
Manure contains large amounts of nitrogen, which is a probable carcinogen. The odors that come from the manure can increase anxiety and depression. And this really hit me close to home.
Grow Wisconsin says they expect the expansion will be paused until the contested case hearing is resolved. In the meantime, they will continue to work with local communities to get more operations ordinances passed to help better regulate the agribusiness. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A great-looking weekend as we transition into the month of June. The only fly in the ointment is you might notice some of that smoke from those Canadian wildfires. Mostly sunny today with highs in the mid-70s. Partly cloudy tonight, lows in the mid-40s. A little warmer on Sunday, plenty of sunshine, highs in the upper 70s. Right now, it's 50 degrees.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm going to light it up State Street style because I'll be live from Madison. Joining me in studio will be Madison filmmaker Austin Galante and UW Cinematheque programmer Ben Reiser.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Another week has passed, and here we are again on the Rational Revolution. You are in the right spot. Thanks for joining us. Hey, I got to tell you right off the bat, you should download the Civic Media app, civicmedia.us, download our app. You can like our show, listen to whatever shows you want, select your favorite ones, text us, text the show. I love that. I love to hear from listeners and all of those wonderful people out there in radio land. And then also, we do have a Facebook page, so like it. You might end up interacting with me on there. I'd love to talk to you too there. And all of our episodes are available online there, wherever you get your podcast, including this one. This one's going to be a good one. This is important. As you know, we've had friend of the show, Ben Wickler, on a ton. Wonderful guy. Oh my gosh. A ton of energy. Incredible knowledge. Well, and this is why I asked him when he was here last time, because I heard from a bird he might be thinking of going a different direction. And I said, what's the future for you? And he said, I don't know. Well, the future is he is stepping aside from the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. However, he has endorsed a dude, Devin Remiker, and Devin is here with us today. And Devin is a candidate for WISDEM's chair and is going to come talk to us, introduce himself, and say hi to all of you people of Wisconsin. So, Devin, what's going on? Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. Really excited to be here. I have been crisscrossing the state, calling folks nonstop when I'm not driving and even while I'm driving. You know, it is all leading up to our state convention in the Wisconsin Dells on June 14th and 15th, where the delegates to the Democratic Party of Wisconsin's convention will choose who the next chair is and who's going to lead us for the next 2 years and have some really big shoes to fill with Ben's departure.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that is understatement of the year. No, it's crazy. I didn't realize. So you're going around campaigning just like it is a race.
Yeah.
No kid.
It is. Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, if there's one thing I've learned in Wisconsin politics, you don't take any race for granted and you run through the tape. So, you know, all of us candidates have been going to county party meetings, meeting individually with folks, reaching out to people. You know, unlike sort of a normal election, there's no same day registration. So it's kind of a fixed pool of people that you sort of have to make sure you're reaching out to consistently over time. But I feel really good about how my campaign's going. I have a ton of support from all corners of the state. Okay. And I think really what we want to do and what I'm hearing a lot from folks about is that we just want to stay in the fight so that we can make sure we win big in 2026.
Yeah. And, yeah, I think Ben himself was the one that coined the year-round campaign cycle, right? So this is This is just another facet of it, huh?
Yeah, well, so actually year-round organizing and sort of the year-round campaign apparatus did actually start prior to Ben's arrival at the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. The prior chair, Martha Lanning, started our year-round organizing program in 2017. And, you know, I think under Ben's leadership, we were able to really turbocharge and pour a lot of gas on our work at the party. So now we have year-round voter protection teams. We have year-round support for candidates in spring elections and state legislative races. So now we do everything year round. But a lot of that mentality started all the way back in 2017.
So as we talk with Devin Remicker, candidate for WISDEM's chair, talk about your experience. What brought you to this point?
Yeah, sure thing. So I'm a lifelong Wisconsinite. I was born and raised in Two Rivers, Trivers, nice. As people like yes. to say. And I went to school in UW-La Crosse, and most of my career was in Democratic candidates in largely rural areas. First with State Representative Steve Doyle while I was in college, and then with Congressman Ron Kind, who represented the 3rd congressional district. And for a long time, I was kind of like, you know, the political operative that didn't work in Madison or Milwaukee, the rural guy, so to speak. And that's sort of the background that I brought with me to DPW in 2018 when I first started working at the party. And since then, I've just, you know, first under Chair Lanning and then under Chair Wickler, I have just really come to believe in what our state party is able to uniquely do better than any other state party in the country to help support our candidates up and down the ballot and really make a change in the state. And ultimately, the reason I hopped in is I just think that I have the experience, the vision, and the leadership necessary to come in on day one, grab the baton from Ben, and run with it.
So you've been at the party for, 7 years of my... You know, fourth grade math is right. what do you do with the party?
Yep. Yeah. So most recently, I was on the Biden-Harris Harris-Walz then coordinated in 2024. So worked at the party, but more on the coordinated capacity, helping to elect Democrats up and down the ballot. Prior to that, I was the executive director. So I was Ben's right-hand man for almost half of his tenure. From 21 until the end of 23. So I was his longest serving executive director. So although I said everyone knows that there's big shoes to fill, I know better than anybody else just how big the shoes are.
Yeah, no kidding. And what's Ben going to do now? I just supposed to take some time off and...
Ben is a guy that loves to be in the fight. I think that even if he's not chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, he's going to be working his tail off to try to make a difference in this state. So I don't think anyone has seen the last of him by any means. But honestly, I think he has really deserved a little bit of a break, a little bit of a breather, a little bit more time with family. He's given us 6 really amazing, but also really challenging years, starting with a pandemic and then ending with a presidential campaign and a Supreme Court victory from start to finish. I mean, he has been a trooper.
What a crazy time to be in that space. Holy cow. And so what does the executive director do?
Yeah, so it is a little different for every sort of chair and executive director. You usually kind of create your own sort of balance. But for Ben and I, a lot of what I did was sort of execute on his vision. So, developing sort of the tactical strategy to win the races that we want to win, managing the staff, of which, you know, we had over 200 in 2022 on the total sort of payroll. Yeah, big team. Also managing the budget. So all the money that, you know, we raised, we have to figure out how to spend it most effectively, most efficiently to make the biggest impact possible. Figuring out how we do that in alignment with our partners, elected officials, grassroots organizations, neighborhood teams, county parties, whole nine yards, that ultimately is sort of what the executive director's job is.
I don't remember who I spoke to about this, but it was discussed about how Ben, what he did really well was he was a prolific fundraiser, but then he also was an amazing campaigner. And it's hard to kind of imagine someone doing both of those roles. What is your vision for the chair of WISDEMS?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that there's perhaps a bit of a misconception about, you know, the fundraising success that Ben has had. And, you know, part of it is he has done a really great job of doing media relentlessly in many yeah. different mediums in many different places. And a lot of people think, you know, well, okay, you know, Ben goes on MSNBC a lot. That helps make it rain at the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Does it help? Sure, it does. But really where the Democratic Party of Wisconsin's success on fundraising has come from building trust with donors, yeah. both large and small. And I think it is, you know, those sort of relationships of trust are things that I've been a part of building in my role as executive director, you know, getting into the weeds to answer questions from donors about how our programs work. You know, a lot of that would come back to me, helping to prep Ben for a lot of those things. You know, I wrote the memos, I did the briefings, a lot of those pieces. So I have a lot of those trusted relationships as well. And then on the small dollar side, I think, you know, we take a very different approach to small dollar, you know, online contributions at the party, where we don't do the, hey, we're going to sell your email to 10 other organizations to make yeah. money, and then you're going to get spammed by 50 right. candidates across the country. We actually have a practice of not doing that. And I think that, you know, knowing how we've oriented that program, how we've treated our donors with respect and appreciation and carrying that forward is going to be hugely helpful. But ultimately, I think that something that is going to be unique about sort of the next configuration for the Democratic Party of Wisconsin is that the first vice chair is going to be Secretary of State Sarah Gottlewski. She's
proposed
for the position. The filing deadline has passed. So no matter who is chair, there is going to be, I think, just a fantastic built-in messenger for the party that can do a variety of things just from the jump on day one. And I'm really excited for the opportunity to be able to be quite the dynamic duo with her.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting how, you know, you kind of go into this role as someone who's been there for a long time. It's hard to make your own mark on what you want to do. It's, you don't want to be, you know, Devin, the Ben guy. You want to be, you know, Devin Remicker, the chair of WISDEMS. How is your vision different than what he has, or is there a lot of similarities because one team, one dream kind of stuff?
Yeah, well, I definitely think the party is doing more right than wrong.
I agree.
So,
yeah.
You know, I think that
for sure.
You know, yeah. You know, the way that I think about it is that we have a foundation and we're just, you know, we don't want to rip out the slab and pour new concrete. We can build right. on this foundation. And I think that there is each cycle, there is a learning opportunity, you know, from 2024, there's things we can learn from the Supreme Court race in 25, there's things we can learn. And it's about how you apply those things and be able to sort of make the adjustments we need to what is otherwise a pretty solid machine to keep moving. And, you know, I think that the parties had to pivot before back in 2020. Mm-hmm. We were blindsided with a pandemic right before a spring yeah. election. And I was the individual who in like basically, you know, a handful of days retooled our entire organizing apparatus to be able to go virtual and do vote by mail. And, you know, I think that adaptability, flexibility yeah. and willing to just embrace change is a key strength of mine and also something this role really needs, because, you know, both the beautiful and the scary thing about politics and campaigns is all it takes is a moment and the entire yeah. world has to change around it. And I think that as I look now, you know, really what we are seeing is energy and enthusiasm across the state. And it's just really important that our party cast as wide a net as possible and have really strong, robust county party infrastructure, because that is usually the first place people go when they want to get involved in a party organization, to be able to bring those folks in so that, you know, as they're taking action now, they are ready to go in 2026 in all the critical elections and all the critical races we have to win. And that is really, I think, the big change that we need to make this year is focusing on strengthening from the bottom up, not just at the state party, but at our party units all across the state.
Yeah, and that's important. And I am going to talk about that. We got a minute left here before the break. But, you know, cast as wide a net as possible. I'm that guy, you know, former chairman of a Republican Party, and who really, I was always a pretty liberal Republican. but still, I mean, there's so much outreach that we have to do. And I think, you know, the big tent, I've said this before, the big tent is not with the Republican Party right now. The big tent is on our side. And I do want to hit on that and how we can grow that, because I think Ben understood that. And that's something that we can do even more of. We're on the Rational Revolution. We're talking to Devin Remiker, candidate for WIS Dems chair. You're going to want to hear what he's got to say here coming up. We'll be right back.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. We are in a rare moment right now in Wisconsin politics. Why, you ask? Well, it's because we are not actively in the middle of a campaign cycle. It's been more than 6 weeks now since any of us have seen a campaign ad. It's been pretty nice, hasn't it? The moment we're in is as close as we're going to get to a political off-season here in Wisconsin. And we need to take advantage of this moment by taking action to improve our democracy. That means taking steps to address money in politics, cleaning up some issues with election administration, and creating a long-term plan for nonpartisan redistricting. In some cases, we can't make these kinds of changes in the middle of a campaign, so we need to be thinking about what we can do now. There's a lot both parties can agree on here, too. So let's make some moves this offseason, Wisconsin. Seize this moment to make a better, stronger, more inclusive democracy.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Summers in Worthington, Minnesota bring fun, and a good portion of that fun happens around our beautiful 800-acre Lake Okabena. Our community is built around it, and it has great walleye fishing and several lakeside parks. This June 13th and 14th, we'll have our Windsurfing Regatta and Music Festival. It's free. Come and see the windsurfers, eat from over a dozen food vendors, and attend free lakeside concerts on our professional city stage, this year featuring Viva Knievel and Cooper Allen. Check us out. We're Worthington, Minnesota, and we're certainly worth a look.
Matt and Air on Air.
Congressman Mark Pocan is here. Are you planning on going out on the road again, having a couple more town halls?
Yes. No, Claire, Derek and I have been invited by Opportunity Wisconsin, so I'm really looking forward to debating Derek. My guess is it's more likely I will sprout a head full of hair than he will show up. This is important to let people know what's in this bill, because there is a very good reason why Republicans are hiding from town halls.
Catch Matt and Air on Air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Revolution. I'm Mark Becker. We're talking with Devin Remiker. He is running for Democratic Party of Wisconsin chair. It's interesting how, like, all these races, I mean, this is a big deal. You know, it's a huge position of importance. And we were kind of talking on the other side of the break about when we had to pivot during COVID and all of this. A lot of the organizers that I spoke with during the last presidential campaign, they felt that that there was a lot of momentum because they saw Democratic organizers on the streets everywhere. We were everywhere, and they didn't see the Trump people out there. And I think there was a lot of, and I don't know the numbers, but that's some of the feedback that I got from the people that were on the street. And oh my God, we're everywhere, and they're nowhere, and they ended up winning. What do you take from that, and how critical is the role of the WIS Dems chair to set that strategy for? Okay, this is we got to reelect Tony Evers if he's doing it. This is how we're going to do it. How would you lay that strategy out?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think, you know, it's certainly, as someone who was on the campaign, I always thought that it was going to be neck and neck in a very close election here in Wisconsin. And, you know, I would be lying if I said that I wasn't getting a little excited once I saw, you know, like 3,000 people show up to a rally in Little Chute, Wisconsin. You know, like that is, when you look at where, you know, like that was something special. I think that what it was that Republicans were communicating and they were doing things. It just wasn't in places that were immediately visible to us. You know, it may not have been on the street, but also a lot of people's communication is done digitally now. And I think that is, you know, a territory where Democrats have not been able to get in the fights as much as we have. I think we have an excellent organizing team that does an excellent job of all the sort of on the ground campaign work that we think of. And we need to keep that going. We also need to do more than just knock on doors. You know, I as part of my hometown, Facebook feed, I see, you know, like the news and information page for Two Rivers, just full of people pushing, you know, Republican propaganda constantly down people's throats, just 24/7. You can't even, you know, post anything innocuous without it being, you know, trolled or spammed in some sort of way. But this sort of stuff has a real chilling effect. And it has a persuasive effect. If people think everyone around them is supporting this candidate, it both creates permission when you have someone who is basically subverting democracy to still support them. And it also makes Democrats who might raise their hand and say, hey, this isn't okay, a lot less willing to do that because they don't want to deal with the harassment. They don't want to deal with the noise. They don't want to deal with it. And I think that this is, you know, sort of a key thing is how do we build upon, you know, what is already a fantastic organizing operation to also make sure that we are reaching people in the digital space. And I think that is going to be a central focus of how we move forward.
It really is insane because, you know, when I was chair of the Republican Party, one of the things that we talked about was how the Democratic apparatus was so wrapped up and had that digital space down when Barack Obama was running and all of that. I mean, I was chair during Obama and Mitt Romney, and that was one of the things where people kept saying, oh, well, they own digital and we have to get better at that. How did we go from the Democrats owning the digital space to now a place where we're behind?
Yeah, well, I think there's probably a couple of reasons for that. Number one, you know, at that time, it's easy to, I think, forget that not everyone had a smartphone. Not everyone was on Facebook. Yeah. You know, a lot of social media was still in its infancy in 2012. And now everyone's on it. You know, grandma has a Facebook. And I think that it has sort of changed the overall balance of the ecosystem. But I think at the same time, Democrats sort of took for granted the support of young people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you sort of look at the major drivers of engagement in the digital space, it is definitely sort of overweighted to young people and what they talk about, what issues they're invested in. And I think that by sort of seeding that ground, by taking those voters for granted, or not being a party that they could see themselves in, I think that really, really hurt us. And a lot of the young folks that were engaging on social media, you know, just weren't fully bought in on the campaign in the same way that they might have been for President Obama in 2012. So I think that sort of double whammy really hit us. And, you know, we'll give Republicans credit. They really intentionally invested in reaching young people. I mean, they set up an entire apparatus and ecosystem to sort of, you know, try to push on them their own propaganda. And I think it did make a difference.
It is wild to me how, you know, I see some of the numbers for young people going, like youth would always go to the left. And now, like, that's in question. That's wild to me.
It is. It really is. And I think that it's a really interesting dynamic. You know, I think that there's definitely a gender divide amongst young voters. But, you know, even that doesn't universally explain the trend. I mean, you look at UW La Crosse, obviously, which I'm pretty familiar with. You know, we've lost one of the biggest student wards in that campus.
What?
However, for real. Wow. And in the spring election, we won it again quite handily. And I think the difference is that there were young men in particular that showed up to vote in 2024 that probably weren't as tuned into the Supreme Court race. I think that is responsible for a lot of what took us by surprise. And in some ways, 2020, you know, might have been lulled us into a false sense of security
right.
about where young folks were at because of every, you know, a lot of the campuses in the state, students went home. Wisconsin was kind of getting rocked by a COVID wave right towards the election. And, you know, I think it may have led to results that seemed more optimistic than they actually were. And it finally kind of caught up to us in this higher turnout presidential election yep. in 2024.
We're going to continue this discussion here. We got one more segment here with Devin Remiker, candidate for WISDEM's chair. Stick around. We're going to talk about what do we do next on The Rational Revolution. We'll see you in a little bit.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth said America is here to stay in the Indo-Pacific. He's speaking at the Shangri-La Dialogue, an annual defense event held in Singapore. He said that China could pose an imminent military threat.
China seeks to become a hegemonic power in Asia, no doubt. It hopes to dominate and control too many parts of this vibrant and vital region.
President Trump traveled to Pittsburgh on Friday and announced during an event touting a possible merger between Nippon Steel and U.S. Steel that steel tariffs would increase. They would double from 25% to 50% on all imported steel. Earlier in the day, the president in an Oval Office event bid farewell to Elon Musk, who departed his government role, and former President Joe Biden, speaking publicly for the first time since he announced his cancer diagnosis, told reporters he's feeling good. This is ABC News.
It's the Brewers and the Phillies. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball from Citizens Bank Park, where the Brewers faced the Phillies last night. Milwaukee got the win 6-2, thanks to a pair of home runs by Christian Yelich. D.L. Hall pitched the first three innings before Quinn Priester took over manager Pat Murphy.
That was terrific. Quinn was best I've seen him. You know, six innings, sinker working, ground ball after ground ball, really stayed on it, competed. He was great. I mean, a difference maker in the game. Six innings, you know, there's been few and far between pitchers give us six, and he did it with 71 pitches, no walks, no free bases. That was awesome.
In golf, Mal Saigo of Japan shot 6 under par at Erin Hills to take the lead in the women's U.S. Open. The United States' Nelly Korda just 3 shots off the pace.
Definitely felt a little bit more confident on the putting green today. Made some putts, made 2 kind of silly bogeys. Other than that, felt really, really good out there.
That's golfer Nelly Korda with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Major Margaret Houlihan, also known as actress Loretta Swit, has passed away. Swift played the character, also known as Hot Lips, for the entire 11-year run of MASH. According to Deadline, she was nominated for an Emmy Award every year and won twice in 1980 and 1982. Swit passed away at her New York home from natural causes last Friday at the age of 87. Hot Lips and Frank, together again. More troubling news regarding Kevin Costner's too-long-to-say movie title and ridiculously long movie, also known as Horizon, An American Saga, Parts 1 and 2. Good grief. Last week, Costner was accused by a stunt person of sexual harassment, and now the production is being accused of not paying its costume fees. The United Costume Corporation is seeking $350,000 for unpaid fees, according to Variety. Just a word to the wise, to the Yellowstone star, those costumes may come in handy if predators come knocking. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A great-looking weekend as we transition into the month of June. The only fly in the ointment is you might notice some of that smoke from those Canadian wildfires. Mostly sunny today with highs in the mid-70s. Partly cloudy tonight, lows in the mid-40s. A little warmer on Sunday, plenty of sunshine, highs in the upper 70s. Currently, it's 52.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, the Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to health care, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees. I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Matt Miller, Milwaukee-based film critic. The film Sinners, the more distance I have from it, the more I liked it. Is that an Oscar film?
I think there is a love for what Sinners is doing, that a studio movie was this interesting and creative and thoughtful, but also entertaining. This is not the last you will hear about Sinners this year. I'd be shocked if it doesn't get a Best Picture nomination.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwalbe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome back comedian singer Rob Paravonian and Milwaukee-based actor Rob Martin, and I talk about our favorite movie gangsters. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker. We are talking with a cool dude, new friend, Devin Remicker, candidate for WISDEM's chair. If you like what you hear and you want to listen to it again, download that Civic Media app. You can text in. I'd love to hear from you. Like the show on Facebook, all that good stuff. And I do want to make clear, too. We talk about, I've gushed about Ben Wickler and his vision and all the things that he's done. I also want to make very, very clear that he has endorsed you. He has said himself that that you are the best candidate. There are other people running. We don't need to talk about them. But I trust Ben, and I hope the people that are voting do as well. So I do want to recognize that as well.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And, I think a lot of people, trust him. And ultimately, I have a broad coalition of support, whether it's Ben, leaders, Hesselbein and Neubauer from the Assembly and the Senate, mm-hmm. Representative Quentin Moore, who just endorsed me on Sunday.
Oh, cool. Congratulations.
I think it is really important that... Oh, thank you.
I've been trying to get her on the show. Oh, my God.
Well, I'll drop her a line.
Yes,
see what
do
we can
that.
Do.
She's
the best. Yeah.
She's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I think that is like really what, whether it is elected officials, whether it is party leaders, over 25 county party chairs and vice chairs from all around the state. I think that we just need to make sure that we come out of this process just as united as we were at the start. And, the other guys running for this position, they are great guys. I think we're running a very respectful campaign. I think we're all very conscious of the fact that none of us is anybody's enemy, and we have to be united in 2026. And I think it's, refreshing to see a party able to, handle its business with respect.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, because, locally here in Northeast Wisconsin, there was a chairman of the 8th Congressional. I'm just a hot garbage dumpster fire. Oh, my God.
The ACB Republicans, they got a lot of stuff going on. It's quite dramatic. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you got Charlie Kirk and his organization is kind of trying to take over and all that stuff. But, I want to touch on this because this is near and dear to my heart, is this whole Big Tent thing. That's what brought me here. I was always a never Trump Republican. And I think so often you see people who are never Trump Republicans, they're not in the party anymore. I had lunch with Adam Kinzinger, and I don't know if I can say this, but one of the things that he said, we talked about that I joined the party, and his response was, yeah, I probably got to do that too. it's the coalition that can be built here is huge to be able to reach out to the people like me, like Kinzinger, and give them a home. What is the plan for that?
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, I was talking with Tracy Mangold about this as well during the course of me running for this. And I'd love to have a more sort of intentional space held within the Democratic Party for folks that, you know, might come from a sort of a legacy Republican background of some sort, and make it really clear that there is space within our party. And I'll be honest, I think that a place where our party has fallen short is that I think oftentimes people feel like there isn't space.
Right.
That we are very, you know, strictly adherent to everything. And if you don't check one of our boxes, you're, you know, some sort of evil person who shouldn't be welcome into the fold. And, you know, to me, I think our challenge here in Wisconsin is largely to leave space for people to join us instead of, you know, trying to beat them over the head with talking points and, you know, argue them into submission about how we are righteous as yeah. the Democratic Party. I think that part of what we need to do is get out of our own way and, like, you know, present people information, give people an understanding of what's at stake and who's on whose side, and then take a step back and have them come towards us as opposed to trying to drag them along. And I think that the manner in which we communicate, how we sort of deliver that message, like, to me, getting hung up on the words, the precise words that we say, is often a yeah. trap that doesn't yield that many results. Most of the time, it's how we say it, who says it, where you say it, and how often you say it, and if people believe you, if they think you're full of crap.
Yeah, you know, any time I have a conversation with someone that is like a past life me, you know, there are some untouchables. Like, if you don't believe in marriage equality, well, if you don't believe in, you know, women's rights, well, but most people do. And, you know, some people will say, well, you know, I'm a Republican because I believe in, you know, not spending more than what you have. And it's like, well, so do the Democrats. I mean, you know, look at who's fighting for fiscal responsibility right now. It's not the right. And being able to have, you know, an open dialogue and a welcoming place of, honey, you're already here. You'll realize it in a little bit, you know, and just have someone who is a spokesperson of that has been there to be able to articulate, it's okay, but this is a safe place to be. The big tent, it is not with the Republican Party anymore. It's not, because they're Trumpers or they're not. And that is the litmus test. Do you support this? No. Right. All right, get out. Where it's here, there is... You know, there was an old chairman, Tom Sieber, who's a good friend of mine. He's the chairman of the Democratic Party of Brown County. And he said, you know, if you're with me on 75-80% of the stuff, that's a good Democrat. And I would love to see a place where we really continue to build on outreach, because, I mean, it was a razor's edge here in the last election. And I think this, we're going to need that in for Tony's reelection.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, I think the governor does a fantastic job of, you know, really, you know, reaching out to folks all across the state, focusing on issues that actually matter to Wisconsinites. And I think that we just need to make sure that's reflected in all the work we do at the party. And, like, to me, you know, the mission here is not to be a perpetual battleground. It's not to be a purple state.
Yeah.
It's to be a blue state. Like, that's the mark of success for the Democratic right. Party of Wisconsin. But to get there, we're going to have to win back some people we've lost.
Yeah, you said earlier, you cast as wide a net as possible. I love that. That's what we got to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where are you on the political spectrum, from, like, on the yardstick of, like, AOC to Bart Stupak? Where would Devin Remiker be?
That's a good question. I find it a little hard to rate myself. You know, I definitely, you know, to me, the most important thing about our politics and our party is the fight to preserve our democracy.
Yeah.
You know, when I worked for Congressman Kind, you know, he's a very moderate bipartisan mm-hmm. guy. And, you know, I think that as I sort of went through the experience in 2020, I was Biden's recount director here in the state as well.
Oh, wow.
What used to be the Republican Party that I thought were, you know, people that generally believed in, you know, in our country and the democratic project that we were undertaking here, really changed into something that I view as a core threat to our democracy. And I sort of view myself largely, and through my work and what keeps me going, as doing what I can to preserve you know, both our nation, our state, and advance policies that improve people's lives. And, you know, I find it a little bit hard to rate myself on a spectrum because, you know, my focus is usually on winning elections and letting elected officials figure out what's realistic in their policies. But I do know that central to my being is being in this fight and doing everything we can to make sure that we have a next election.
What a crazy thing to I mean, that's a perfect answer because, I mean, it really is. It's not about, you know, stuffiness of you don't believe this or you don't, you know, litmus tests. It's really about, yeah, you're right. This is about, I mean, democracy is on the table. Really. I mean, it is.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. I think we have to send a clear message in 2026 in this state, across the country. And we can't be the frog that got boiled alive. Like we have to make sure that there is a clear signal and that we win offices up and down the ballot. And show that, you know, we are not going to go quietly.
What does WIS Dems have to do to win elections? I mean, it's there's so, especially with statewide stuff, you know, Republicans say, oh, they focus on is Madison and Milwaukee. And that's all the, you know, what, how do we win in 2026?
Yeah, well, I think that right now, as I said earlier, we need to cast as wide a net as possible. Yeah. I think folks that are taking action, showing up to protest, it's great. Make sure your voice is heard, especially when there's not an election on the table. But I've seen this happen so many times that after people protest 10 times, they look around and are like, well, what else did, you know, this is, I don't know what we're doing here. And we need to make sure that those folks come with us right next year so that we can take all the energy and point it like a laser at, you know, making sure that we take down Rebecca Bradley in the Supreme Court election in the spring, that we elect local candidates up and down the ballot. I mean, that's the thing. There's all this attention always on national politics and, you know, the House, the Senate, the presidency. But the reality is the politics that actually impact people's lives the most are state and local government. Mm-hmm. And those seats are really, really important. So I think supporting good candidates for those offices. And then we have to win the trifecta. So we, hopefully, knock on wood, we're reelecting Governor Evers. And then we are helping to make sure that we have Speaker Neubauer and Senate Leader Hasselbein that can be good partners to him in the legislature. And, you know, we finally have fair maps at the right time that, you know, this is now a real possibility in this state. And I think that all of this is doable. And as a bonus, we can maybe even make Speaker Jeffries in the House nationally with winning some House seats here in Wisconsin. So I think that this is, you know, how the party does that, you know, can always shape and change. But at the end of the day, it's about mobilizing folks through organizing. It's about communicating a message. And it's about raising the resources we need to fund those things and support our candidates directly where we can do so.
Yeah, it's been a minute since we've had a Democratic majority, and it, I mean, it really is. It's not pipe dream anymore. I mean, it could happen in a couple years. So if people want to support you, what can they do?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, if you're a delegate to the convention, you can make sure that you show up by 10 a.m. on Sunday to get your credentials and cast your vote. If you would like to support me, but you aren't a delegate, you can go to devinforchair.com. You can communicate with me through there, send an email. Even if you're not a delegate to the convention, I still really appreciate support from folks. And, you know, oftentimes people's names can make a difference to other folks who may be delegates making a decision. And if you'd like, you can also donate on the website, devinforchair.com. And, you know, we're coming up on it. We're 2 weeks out, so it's going to be a rush to the finish.
Yeah, what an exciting one. Count me in. Put my name down. I would love to see you take this thing and bring it home and help us win some darn elections. You know, it's exciting, but it's a
well,
big,
I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's a big hat, and I appreciate you stepping up to do something that's really, really hard. So don't be a stranger. We'd love to have you back.
I'd love to be back.
Thank you. So good luck. If there's something I can do to help, please let me know. We've got just a couple seconds left. So again, Devin Remicker, candidate for WIS Dems chair. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, you really as well. It. We'll have you back soon, and stick around for my final thoughts. He went on shoe shine, he got to-
as Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Dismantling the IRA and other federal clean energy incentives will add a half a gigaton of greenhouse gas emissions by 2030. That's according to modeling from Princeton University. House Republicans passed aggressive cuts to clean energy incentives in their latest budget. The Senate is now considering the bill. The Public Service Commission of Wisconsin has given the green light for a major build-out of fossil fuel-burning power plants in Wisconsin. We Energies wants to build new gas plants and operate them for 30 years, largely to meet the needs of Microsoft's new AI data center. It's turtle nesting season, and the DNR is asking drivers to slow down on roads near wet areas, lakes, and rivers. Wisconsin's 11 turtle species lay eggs from late May through June, when you can often see them along roads and in yards. You can help keep them safe by being alert when driving through their habitat. For a deep dive into environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. New York City Mayor Eric Adams had his bribery and corruption charges dropped by the U.S. Department of Justice under questionable circumstances in April. Because of those charges, the New York City Campaign Finance Board denied Adams matching campaign funds. Adams is now suing to get those funds. Mayor Adams was accused last December by the Biden DOJ with taking campaign donations from foreign nationals and businessmen, allegedly using straw donors to make them appear as legitimate donations. He was also accused of doing favors in exchange for luxury travel and attempting to conceal those transactions. We reported in February that the DOJ dropped bribery and corruption charges against Adams after Adams visited Trump at Mar-a-Lago. An apparent Trump directive to drop the charges to the DOJ's Southern District of New York resulted in the resignations of seven experienced prosecutors. As a result of the corruption charges and paperwork omissions, the New York Campaign Finance Board denied Adams $4 million in matching funds for his campaign from the state's taxpayer-funded campaign finance option. Now that the charges have been dropped, Politico reports that Adams is now suing the board to recover $3.4 million of those denied funds. The Campaign Finance Board will reportedly revisit Adams' eligibility for funding in July. Find our past reports on Adams at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the global cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. I appreciate everyone listening. This is such an honor to do. You know, it really is. I thank you, everyone that listens. Thank you, Civic Media, for allowing this to happen. And yeah, this is awesome. Conrad, Amanda, Tata, all the producers and everyone that's involved in this. This is really, really cool. Devin Remiker, that was interesting. You know, I mean, this is it's a time for change in so many facets of politics, from, you know, the disaster we had with the Trump administration that happens every freaking day. Anyone want a 747, by the way? I'm like, that's can we do that? I would like a jumbo jet. See if we can make a deal happen. Yeah, that'd be great. But I think Devin absolutely would be the right person to get that done. I appreciate that he knows, you know, in the Rational Revolution here, we really talk about, you know, this is not about what's left versus what's right. It's about what's right versus what's wrong. And casting a wide net, getting people to bring them into the tent, I think is the right message for now, but it's also the right message for many years down the road. I really do. And I I'm encouraged by what he said and by the things that he talked about. He's obviously the right guy and the right person to bring WIS Dems into more victories coming up. I want to talk a little bit, just a little bit, about perspective. I do this, I ramble on, for the last segment here. But I'd love to hear some feedback from you. So download that Civic Media app, text in, all that stuff. I don't talk about family stuff a lot, but I vent, and this is kind of like therapy for me too. But we're experiencing in our family a loss. When we record this right now, it's my wife's grandmother, who is really a towering figure in her life, and she's a wonderful woman. And as we're recording this, she has precious few moments left. And so we're trying to, figure out what that all means for everybody and trying to make sure that everyone is able to, say hello or goodbye, really. And it's hard, man. Like, this woman has meant a lot to my wife. And my wife hasn't always, she's just been wonderful. And Thelma is her name. And she's had a tough go too. And the things that she's had to overcome with, she lost her first husband at a relatively young age and had to figure out life basically on her own. Then she married another guy that my wife affectionately calls Grandpa. And he passed away, and then she married another guy, and he passed. She's had to outlive three husbands. And she came through that through her faith and through friends and through just being one badass woman. And despite all of those tough things, she's really maintained a perspective of positivity and of love and all of that. And so, I look at how we live our lives, and especially when it comes down to what happens when we go. And, I'm not a huge religious person. I don't know. I think a lot of these things we construct some of these religions to really deal with a difficult question of like, is this it? What we're doing now, what we're talking about here when we punch our clocks, when we go home, and this is it, really. And to be part of this journey with Thelma and seeing the impacts, my wife is a strong person. I'll ask her, she could be in the middle of getting her right arm amputated, and how are you doing? I'm fine. She's such a stalwart, stoic person. But I know she's hurting because this is someone who has meant the absolute world to her whole life. And to now see this moment that she says, oh, we were prepared for it. Yeah, you can say that, but it still hurts. So if you do text, I'd love to read my wife some positive stuff from the listeners out there, because that would mean a lot. But I think the message for this is live your life like Thelma. Love people, be kind, don't judge, be a badass, and just don't ever give up on anything, regardless of what you're going through, no matter how difficult it is, no matter where you are, no matter what. Just put one foot in front of the other and don't give up. She grew up, she grew up in a place called Port Oneida. I didn't grow up. Her and her husband lived there. Port Oneida is it's like Heritage Hill here in Northeast Wisconsin. It's a national park now, next to Sleeping Bear Dunes in Michigan. And my mother-in-law talks about how she grew up and she would open the windows and she would hear the waves of Lake Michigan lapping the shores of the beach below. And it's just, She's a wonderful woman, and she'll be so missed, and she lived an incredible life. So live life like Thelma. That's my message for today. Love you guys. Appreciate you so much. We'll see you next week on The Rational Revolution. You got Mark Becker. We'll see you next week. Thanks.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump was asked Friday about the prospects of a nuclear deal between the U.S. and Iran. The two sides have engaged in talks.
I think we have a chance of making a deal with Iran also. They don't want to be blown up. They would rather make a deal. And I think that could happen in the not too distant future.
But the UN nuclear watchdog says that Iran has further increased its stockpile of enriched uranium, as reported by the Associated Press, meaning Iran is closer to weapons-grade levels of uranium. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth talked about military threats at a defense forum in Singapore. He said the United States is here to stay in the Indo-Pacific and that China could pose an imminent military threat. President Trump announced that tariffs on steel and aluminum imports would double from 25% to 50% on June 4th, and there are air quality alerts for cities in the upper Midwest today because of smoke from the Canadian wildfires. This is ABC News.